This is Tim Desmond, the sea ball guy, and you're listening to Radio for Peace in Costa Rica.
You're listening to Radio for Peace International. Coming up next is a speech by Jim Hightower. For those who don't know who Jim Hightower is, stay tuned as we left the speech introduction in just for you. Jim Hightower spoke at the August 2003 Soulfest in Joplin, California. Soulfest 2003 was a staging ground for the Cancun actions and many other current topics. Keep watching Radio for Peace International and this station for other speeches by David Orr, Granny D, Julia Butterfly Hill, and exclusive interviews with Julia Butterfly Hill, folk singer Jim Page, Starhawk, and many other interesting people of conscience. And now, on to a speech by Jim Hightower.
This is Jim Hightower. You're listening to Radio for Peace International, broadcasting from Costa Rica, bringing you the world from the people's perspective.
National radio commentator, writer, public speaker, and author Jim Hightower has spent three decades battling the powers that be on behalf of the powers that ought to be. Consumers, working families, environmentalists, small businesses, and just plain folks. Raised in Denison, Texas, in a family of small business people, tenant farmers, and working folks, Jim was elected and served two terms as Texas Agricultural Commissioner in the late 1980s. Jim believes that the true political spectrum is not right to left, but top to bottom. He has become a leading national voice for the 80% of the public who no longer find themselves within shouting distance of Washington and Wall Street powers at the top. Hightower is a modern-day Johnny Appleseed, spreading the message of progressive populism all across American grassroots. He broadcasts daily commentaries that are carried by more than 90 commercial and public stations on the web, on Armed Forces Radio, Radio for Peace International, One World Radio, and Sirius Satellite Radio. Each month, he publishes a populist political newsletter, The Hightower Lowdown, which now has more than 90,000 subscribers and is the fastest-growing political publication in America. The hard-hitting Lowdown has received both the Alternative Press Award and the Independent Press Association Award for Best National Newsletter. His newspaper column is carried in more than 75 independent newspapers, magazines, and other publications. He also writes a monthly column for The Nation, America's leading progressive journal. A best-selling author, Jim is debuting his latest book just this week, Thieves in High Places, and he has it here at Soulfest. He'll be doing a book signing right after a speech right up by the store on top of the hill. His previous books include If the Gods Had Meant Us to Vote, They Would Have Given Us Candidates. And There's Nothing in the Middle of the Road But Yellow Stripes and Dead Armadillos. Eat Your Heart Out and Hard Tomatoes, Hard Times. Jim also devotes much of his energy to revitalizing grassroots political politics, progressive politics, with his nationwide Rolling Thunder Down Home Democracy Tour. Sort of like a county fair of progressive activism, these festivals include top-notch speakers, great music, how-to workshops, food, drink, games, clowns, and fun for the whole family. In 2002, the Rolling Thunder Tour traveled to Austin, Chicago, Tucson, Seattle, Minneapolis, and Duluth. As political columnist Molly Ivan says, if Will Rogers and Mother Jones had a baby, Jim Hightower would be that rambunctious child, mad as hell and with a great sense of humor. And that's what I like about most about Jim Hightower. Too many politicians out there are way serious, and Jim brings it back down to earth and keeps us laughing and not taking ourselves too seriously, and hopefully he won't be taking George Bush too seriously when he puts him into permanent retirement very shortly. So, I'm very honored to welcome back Jim Hightower for his second appearance on the Soulfest stage. Please welcome Jim Hightower.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, John Schaefer. He's uglier than a mud truck, but by God, he does for the heavy hauling, doesn't he? What a terrific guy. One of the best friends our earth ever had is right here in this great gentleman with Real Good Solar Living Institute and all the terrific work that he and the people that he pulls together do. And this great gathering, what an example of what America can be. And that's what we've got to carry across this country, I think. It's not the corporate powers, it's not Wall Street, it's not Washington, it's the grassroots people, the ordinary people who do the most extraordinary things. And that's represented here today. And you're going to hear from so many wonderful people in this great Soul Fest. Granny D, my friend, who's traveled all across America, including walking across America. And I don't care if she's 92 or 29, she's still the most articulate, forceful voices that we have for democracy in this great country, and you're going to be hearing from her just a little bit later. Michelle Schacht, my sister Texan, and Holly Neer, great fighter for years for justice and democracy. Butterfly Sparhawk, and now here you are down to me, a scrawny Texas populist, and I am absolutely happier than a flea at a dog show to be a part of this great Soul Fest, and to join you psyched up Soul Festers, you advocates for common sense, you corporate butt kickers, you agitators for a world that is free of fossil fuels. We can get there with your good help. As we gather here in Hopland for this joyous celebration of what's great about America, and I'm talking about the creativity and cleverness, the ingenuity and inventiveness that's represented here. And I know you've been going up and down the various tents, but sign up, get involved with these people. I mean, there's everything here, from organic farming to donut-powered automobiles. I never thought I'd live to see that. Solar smoothies and organic beer. You made a Texan happy with that. I want to thank you. My friends that are traveling with me up and down the road on the Rolling Thunder Down Home Democracy Tour, the Bioneers and Utney Magazine, Mojo Magazine, Mother Jones, and all the great publications that are out there spreading a little bit of truth. You know, we've got the power in our own hands, and we have, as the slogan of Soul Fest says, got to turn inspiration into action. I was in Vermont not very long ago, last fall, with our friend Bernie Sanders up there and the Public Interest Research Group and other good folks. And a guy came up to me with the best political button I've ever seen. It said, "Wearing a button is not enough." That's been our problem. We've been passively progressive. It is time to become aggressive again, because the powers that be have become radically regressive, running roughshod over us, particularly running over our values of economic fairness, social justice, environmental stewardship, equal opportunity for all people. That's what America stands for, those fundamental values. Unfortunately, we are besieged these days by thieves in the high places who are subverting these values, usurping our democratic power, stealing our ideals and our most promising possibilities. Far from democracy, we live in a time of kleptocracy, ruled by thieves. Let me ask you, who has the power in America today? We've got to build that power, though, because the powers that be are ruling over our environment. It's the speculators and spoilers that are making the decisions over everything from what's in our food to what's in our daily news feed. It's the Monsantos and the Murdochs who are making the decisions over who goes to Congress and the White House. It's the money people making the decisions. 0.4% of the American people give as much as $1,000 into political campaigns. And that 0.4% overrules the rest of us in Washington, D.C. The America that we thought we lived in, the America in which ordinary people matter and ultimately rule, has been stolen from us in a gradual, silent coup by these corporate kleptocrats and their political henchmen in both political parties. And now here we are, faced with our first fully corporatized White House, which I call in my new book, Bushco. You can see it on a big building, can't you? Bushco. Indeed, we gather here today in open defiance of King George W. and his autocratic, plutocratic, anti-democratic regime of thieves in high places. You know, Lily Tomlin said she fears that the man who invented Muzak might be thinking of inventing something else. I can appreciate that fear, but that's not at the top of my fear chart. For example, I fear that they may discover that cancer is caused by beer. What am I going to do then? It's a dilemma for us Texans. Or what if the song is right? What if the hokey pokey is what it's all about? What do we do? But here's the thing I fear the most. In one word, Bush, Cheney, Ashcroft, Rumsfeld, and gang. In just 2 short years, they have looted our public treasury to dole out hundreds of billions of dollars to their wealthiest campaign contributors before any other public need is even considered. They have defoliated our environmental protections. They have launched a class war on the middle class as well as the poor. They have taken a sledgehammer to our civil rights and our liberties. They have sought to castrate labor unions. They have turned a $5 trillion surplus into a $4 trillion deficit. They have attempted to privatize everything from Social Security to the post office. Imagine what they'd be doing if they'd actually won the election. George W., of course, was born as another rich son of a Bush, and he governs as one. In this new book of mine, I've got a section called Never Have So Few Done So Much for So Few. And really, we need not be surprised about it because they actually brag about it. Indeed, in the 2000 presidential election in New York City, George Bush appeared before a $1,000 a plate dinner looking out over a sea of tuxedos and designer gowns, and he said, "Ooh, this is an impressive crowd, the haves and the have-mores. Some call you the elite. I call you my base." Wouldn't that have made a good spot on the evening news? Well, he's been true blue to that base. We hear about some of the grosser examples, the tax giveaways to the wealthy, the bloated military budget. But there's a quieter theft that is taking place. And that's the rigging of the regulatory rules to profit corporations at our expense. There are 8 words you never want to hear. And that is, the White House today announced revised rules for, it doesn't matter what, for, you know it's going to be horrific. These people are completely destroying our government. Throwing the monkey wrenches in, and with the grease guns, and with the chainsaws, and using all the tools that they have out of the White House to destroy what it is that protects we the people against corporate greed, whether we're talking about labor unions, the environment, whether we're talking about our food, whether we're talking about our civil liberties, any aspect of our lives. I did in this book, you just can't say, well, there's blip number of regulatory changes that they've made. It just wouldn't be a realistic number. So what I did was to take 2 years' worth, just 2 years' worth, of the regulatory changes, most of them by executive fiat out of the White House with no vote, no debate, in just the environmental field. And here they are. Page. I had to use the tiny type so I wouldn't kill too many trees. After page, after page, after page, after page, after page, and it just goes on and on and on. 2 years' worth of regulatory changes just in the environmental field. You know, they say that in sex that using a feather is erotic, and using the whole chicken, that's kinky. These people are using the whole chicken. We see this in Bush's oil-soaked energy policies. from drilling in the Arctic wildlife refuge to launching a messianic, maniacal, testosterone-driven World War III to make the world safe for Halliburton. We pay the price, we the people, for their policies of putting profits over people. Example, reported yesterday, Environmental Protection Agency will soon rule that power plants, oil refineries, other polluting facilities can expand their output without expanding their pollution control equipment. The industry, of course, has claimed it's too costly to put in that pollution control stuff. It's too costly. It's killing us. We can't compete. We don't want to do it. So George W. said, okay, you don't have to do it. But hello, somebody pays. Somebody pays for their passing of the cost along. They get filthy profits, and we get filthy air and filthy lungs. Lily Tomlin again said, no matter how cynical you get, it's almost impossible to keep up. But I've got to say, it's not just about the power grab by the Bushites. Where's my party? Where's the Democrats? This is the proud, populist, People's Democratic Party. I was elected in the state of Texas on Democratic ticket. Proud to have been so. The people are still laughing about it down there, but there I was for 8 good years. But now I look up at Washington, and my party's gone all wobbly on us. I've got a chapter in this book called Wobblycrats, and that's what's happened. Tom Daschle, Democratic leader of the U.S. Senate, he was asked on Meet the Press recently, why didn't the Democrats put forward some serious opposition or at least a bold alternative to Bush's giveaway of our public treasury to the richest people in America? And Daschle said, well, you've got to take one step at a time. Really? Is this an AA program? Notice that the Bushites aren't taking one step at a time. They're taking great galloping kangaroo leaps, stomping on us. In fact, I'll give you an example of the Wobblycrats and how they failed us as a people. They have been AWOL on the energy fight. What an opportunity Democrats had after 9/11. After that crash bombing into our buildings and killing so many of our people. We had the chance then to put forward a bold new vision and program and possibility for America on energy. We could have declared energy independence for America. We could have said, we're going to launch a 10-year moonshot-style program for energy independence in this country. We are going to lock up all of our scientists into a room and not let them out until they solve whatever little technological problems remain on hydrogen fuel cells and solar and wind and geothermal and the rest of it. And we are going to put those carpenters and those sheet metal workers and those plumbers to work retrofitting every building in America, every home in America for conservation.
This is Julia Butterfly Hill with listener-supported Radio for Peace International, your global community forum.
You're listening to Radio for Peace International and a speech given by Jim Hightower at the 2003 Soul Fest in Hopland, California. Stay tuned for more of Jim Hightower's speech.
Hi, my name is Larry Fried, and I'm with Earth Save Humboldt, and we support Radio for Peace International and the People's Voice.
George W.'s little ranchette down there in Crawford, Texas, where he drives around in an SUV and Neiman Marcus cowboy hat. That little ranchette has hydrogen fuel cell energy in it. It is totally retrofitted and conservation green. Dick Cheney's mansion, the vice president's mansion, in Washington, D.C., on Massachusetts Avenue. Totally retrofitted. If it's good enough for them, why not for the rest of us? If it's saving them money, why don't we save money? And we put people to work doing that all across America over the next decade, and we do something else. We will build high-speed trains in the population corridors of this nation, employing those machinists that Boeing says it doesn't need because it's sending its jobs to China. We'll put them to work. And after 10 years' time, we're not going to need any Saudi oil, any Iraqi oil. We're not going to need any Kuwaiti oil. We're not going to need any Arctic Wildlife Refuge oil. We're not going to need any coastal oil. We're not going to need any Exxon oil, because we're going to be free of oil, and we're not going to fight another oil war in this country or around the world forever and ever and ever. We could do that. We could do that. But the Democrats proposed absolutely nothing except go along with George Bush's war, George Bush's proposal for whatever. In fact, if the meek ever inherit the earth, some of these Democrats are going to be land barons from what I'm seeing. But I have a bit of good news on that. There is something called the Apollo Project. I don't know if you know about it, but check it out. ApolloProject.org.com. I'm not sure what it is. Apollo Project, launched by the steel workers, environmental groups like Friends of the Earth, a number of different organizations teaming up to do exactly what I just outlined, to say we will get off of oil in this country. Unions teaming up in coalition with environmental groups, in coalition with independent businesses, in coalition with common sense folks like are gathered right here today at Soul Fest. So there is a possibility to do it. Washington won't do it for us. They're the ones doing it to us. But we got to do it ourselves. We got to do the heavy lifting. And here's my message, in case you want to slip back to the beer tent for you. And it is that the entirety of the thievery that is taking place today by the corporate kleptocrats, Bushko and the Wobblycrats, is more fundamental and far worse for our society than its separate parts. I was in my town of Austin, Texas, last year. I saw a bumper sticker on an old dilapidated pickup. The bumper sticker said, "Where are we going and what am I doing in this handbasket?" People have got a sense that something's gone fundamentally wrong here. It is not just a matter of a regulatory change here and a tax giveaway over there. It is a shredding of our values, the core values of economic fairness, social justice, environmental stewardship, equal opportunity for all. They are separating the fortunes of the few from the well-being of the many. There's a guy came up to me in a store I was in my town of Austin early this year, and he recognized me. We had a little chit-chat for a moment, and then he grabbed my arm, and he looked me right in the eye like he was seeking confirmation of something that he feared, actually. And he said, "They're changing America, aren't they?" And that's the truth of it. They're changing what it is to be American. They're destroying the fundamental glue that holds us together in this big, sprawling, brawling, diverse, dispersed country. And what holds us together is the ethic of the common good, the notion that we're all in this together. My old daddy down in Denison, Texas, where I grew up, and you got to beware of Texans telling daddy stories, but I had a pretty good one. And my old daddy believed in that notion of the common good. I recall back in the mid-50s when it was proposed that we might have a public library in that town. My father supported that, a small business guy, and he said, "Yeah, I think I ought to be taxed to pay for that, because that's for the common good." Not that he once ever went in that building, much less checked out a book. That's not what he did in life. But he believed it was right for the community. The common good was important. And he had a political philosophy. He didn't know he had one. He would have been embarrassed to have been told that he did. But it came down to this. He said to me periodically, "Jim, everybody does better when everybody does better." And that's what's missing today. They want to separate the fortunes of the few from the well-being of the many. They've got a new pernicious philosophy of greed that says, I got mine, you get yours. Never give a sucker an even break. Caveat emptor, I'm rich and you're not. Adios, chump. That's pretty much what they're saying to us. Well, that's the bad news. But here comes the good news. The people of America are revolting, in the very best sense of that term. I'm lucky. I get to travel a whole lot around this great country, and I don't get my perception of where Americans are from the nightly news or the New York Times. I'm able to be out there, been traveling just about every place that's got a zip code, in fact. And in all of those places, there's somebody or some group of somebodies who are lighting little prairie fires of rebellion against this political and economic exclusion that the thieves in high places are shoving down on our heads. I've seen people taking on the beast of Walmart, which I write about in this book. Now, Walmart is now the largest corporation in the world, surpassed General Motors and ExxonMobil. It's the largest employer of the world. It is also the largest suppressor of wages in this country and elsewhere around the world, and the aspirations of middle class possibilities in the world. They refer to their employees as associates instead of workers. Their associates average $15,000 a year in income. That's if you get to work full time. They define full time, though, as 28 hours a week with no benefits attached to that, including health care. They are the biggest discriminator against women in the world. 78% of their employees are women, but very few of their managers. Women get to that glass ceiling, then they're asked to Windex it. They barge into our communities with their super centers, buildings 4 football fields large, into a neighborhood with 20,000 more cars a day coming into that neighborhood and the nice urban ambience of those orange glow lights because they're 24-hour-a-day entities. They squeeze out the independent businesses because they have predatory pricing power, monopolistic power to absolutely eliminate the local businesses. And for every Walmart job that they create, they eliminate 3 decent jobs in the community. And yet, it's assumed, well, you can't beat Walmart, they're just too big. Well, nonsense. Again, in this book, by the way, I just reread this last night. It is a terrific book. I can certainly recommend it to you. Here's city after city after city that have defeated Walmart. This is an untold story. They don't allow them in the community. They don't let them in. It's our community, not theirs. You get them out just by reading this book and getting the connection to the people who will work with you in your community to get them out. Indeed, it is possible to do, and not only is it possible, but it is taking place all across this great country. Sweatshop products. Why do we tolerate that? Why do we allow sweatshop goods to come into our communities? You don't have to do it. And in fact, I was just in Maine a couple of weeks ago. Maine now has a state law that says no provider to the state of Maine, somebody selling cars for the highway patrol, selling uniforms for prisoners and prison guards or whatever, none of them can provide sweatshop goods. They have to certify that these are non-sweatshop goods or they do not get to bid on contracts in the state of Maine again. Wages. The major cause of poverty in America today is not the lack of a job, it's the low wage that the people get for the jobs that they have. We don't have to take that. Washington fiddles and faddles, say, oh, well, we just can't quite get to raising the minimum wage, and even then they're talking about going from $5.15 an hour to $6.15 an hour. That means you'd work for $12,000 a year if you had full-time work. Poverty, wage. What is that about? Meanwhile, by the way, while Congress won't touch that, they have raised their own pay $20,000 in the last 5 years. Well, we don't have to wait on that, and America's not. More than 100 communities have passed living wage ordinances at $7.50, $9.50, $11.50 an hour with health care benefits indexed to inflation, taking charge at a local level. This is our future. Financing a public, taking care of the corruption in our politics. Washington fiddles and faddles with campaign finance reform that is riddled with loopholes. The only way to deal with campaign corruption through money is to take all the private money out of it and publicly finance the election. That's the only way you get a public result. Four states have done that. Massachusetts, Maine, Vermont, and Arizona have done it. And Maine just had their first cycle of elections under public financing. The result is one-third of their House of Representatives, one-half of their state Senate elected without taking any corporate money whatsoever. That is going to change politics in that state. It can be done by the people themselves. Privacy issues, right on down the line, there's this enormous rebellion that is taking place out there of people fighting back. I'll give you another example apropos of Soulfest here, and that's over our own dinner. If you can't control what's in the food that you put on your table, that you put in your baby's mouths, then what do you actually control? And yet we've had a national agricultural policy, food policy, developed not for farmers and consumers, but for the middlemen conglomerates and the input suppliers, the chemical companies, and et cetera. So they've industrialized, conglomeratized, and globalized food, a substance that, by its very nature, is agrarian, small-scale, and local. And we've got a wonderful examples of it right here, including the organic market produced right here on these facilities. But the result of this national agriculture food conglomeratized policy is that out of each dollar that you spend on groceries, only 19 cents gets back to the farmer now, the person who actually produces the food. And farmers are being squeezed out of business by the thousands each year. Consumer prices keep going up. Agribusiness dumps 8 billion pounds of pesticides on farmlands every single year, with the result that nearly half of our groundwater is now dangerously contaminated with pesticide runoff. Food itself, nature's purest product, has become a clear and present danger because of contaminants by things like feces, irradiation, infusion of sex hormones, genetic manipulation, a toxic stew of chemicals and additives. Monsanto has even produced a potato called New Leaf Potato. Sounds sweet, doesn't it? How green could it be? New leaf potato. It contains a built-in toxin that kills pests. Not merely in the leaf, in the entire plant, in the potato itself. And in fact, this potato is registered with EPA as a pesticide.
Hi, my name is Michael Carrera with the San Francisco Mime Troupe, and we support Radio for Peace International.
You're listening to Radio for Peace International and a speech given by Jim Hightower at the 2003 Soul Fest in Joplin, California. Stay tuned for more of Jim Hightower's speech.
Hi, this is Ed Holmes of the San Francisco Mime Troupe, and we support Radio for Peace International.
Well, once again, that's the bad news. The good news is that folks are fighting back, these pioneers. A guy named Joel Salatin, out of the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia, calls himself a grass farmer. He has 100 acres out there, and on that 100 acres, annually, he produces 30,000 pounds of beef, 60,000 pounds of pork, 12,000 chickens, 600,000 eggs, 1,000 rabbits, 600 turkeys every year. Now, how does he do that on 100 acres? He choreographs the animals. First of all, as he says, he's a grass farmer. He raises healthy, organic nutritious grass. And then he orchestrates the movement of his animals in a sort of symbiotic waltz across these 100 acres. First comes the cattle, who are allowed into a field to eat the long grasses, after which the chickens come in, and he has a portable eggmobile, a wagon that he rolls out. Out come the chickens down these ramps, and they go out there and eat the shorter grasses and peck at the bugs. And then, after they're through, in come the sheep, which eat the nubs. And all of them, of course, do their part to fertilize the grass for next year's healthy feeding cycle. Polyface Farm is the name of his farm. Ecofriendly.com is his website. Totally in rhythm with nature, showing what you can do. Got a friend up in Maine, Elliot Coleman and Barbara Damrosch. They've written a lot of books. You may know them. Yeah, they're terrific, terrific people. They call themselves backwards farmers. They farm only in the winter months of Maine. Hello. In the brutal winters of the Penobscot Bay up there, from October to May, they gaily produce a bounty of organic greens and vegetables in 3 greenhouses out there. They have pioneered and perfected the science and art of cold weather sustainable greenhouse farming, and now they have a replicable model that they believe anybody can do, and they are now able to produce $45,000 a year in profit in just the winter months in the state of Maine. This is what's possible. All right, you want to know the name of that group? I'll give you their website as well. It is in this exceptional book that has just come out. And their website is fourseasonfarm.com. All of this is just part of the possibility out there, and that's what gives me such great hope of taking our country back. I come to you actually as that rarest of birds, a progressive optimist in this age of bourgeois. You might want to look that word up, bourgeois. B-U-S-H-W-A. It's an actual word, precedes our presidents. It means rubbishy nonsense. This age of bourgeois. And the optimism that I feel is genuine because it comes from the grassroots, where the true America lives. And our joyous challenge as a progressive movement is not to go out and create a movement. It's there. Our joyous challenge is to unite with them and rally with them, organize and wallow in the rebellious, fun-loving spirit of our democracy. My old friend Fred Harris ran for president back in 1976, former senator from Oklahoma. I was his national campaign coordinator. I made Fred what he is today, a professor in Albuquerque, but a little ahead of his time, but he was saying the right things back then. And Fred used to say, you can't have a mass movement without the masses. And that's been our problem. We've been trying to do things long distance, high tech, email, television, when in fact folks are looking for high touch politics. And they're looking to get connected up, rub up against each other like what is offered in this festival right here, with good music, good food, good action booze to get connected. Good beer and wine. You got to lubricate the movement, people. I mean, let's not be ashamed of that. And a possibility to connect up to something that is larger than us and to build this great country. That's what Americans want. You know, we've been insulting America over the years. George Bush, after 9/11, what did he say to America? What did he say you could do? People were wrenching. Yeah, go shopping. Then he gave us a shopping list. He said, buy duct tape. Is that all we are? Or to be war fodder in Afghanistan, Iraq, and any of the other 58 countries that he says are evildoers? No, people want to build the country, and we've got to connect them up. We have this great progressive movement, but it's not connected up. People on one side of town don't know folks on the other. People battling for a living wage are not connected with the people who are fighting a hog factory, who don't know the people over here who are going after a health care program in their low-income community. We've got to connect up. It's never easy to do this. It really takes a deliberate effort, kind of like trying to load frogs in a wheelbarrow to get our side, you know, moving down the road together. But when we do get them all in, we win. And that is also the only way that we'll ever realize our ideals, is if we go to the people themselves and we build that broad coalition out there that shares our values of economic fairness, social justice, environmental stewardship, and equal opportunity for all people. And I'll add one more thing, and that is, it's fun. It is enormously fun to be engaged in this fight against the bastards. It's just about as much fun as you can have with your clothes on. In fact, what else are you doing in your life that is going to be more important than trying to take our country back from these thieves in high places? This is historic work, and we are at another one of those when in the course of human events moments that Jefferson wrote about 200-something years ago, because the thieves have stolen our democracy, our ability to control the decisions that affect our lives. That's what democracy is. It's not voting. It's to control the decisions that affect your lives. They've stolen that from us. And now it is our time to be the agitators in this country that takes that back. And they say, oh, agitators, that's a pejorative. Oh, that's a bad thing. Our workers were perfectly happy in this factory till those union agitators came in. The poor people didn't mind living up against that toxic waste dump until those environmental agitators started stirring them up. Well, hogwash and horse hockey, agitation is what built America. We are founded by agitators, created by agitators, fostered by them. And I don't mean just the founders. They were the very least of it. In fact, the first presidential election, only 4% of the people were eligible to vote. Not much democracy in those documents at that time. But thanks to the abolitionists and the suffragists, thanks to Sojourner Truth and Frederick Douglass, thanks to the populists and the wobblies, thanks to the labor movement, the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King Jr. and Cesar Chavez, the agitators in our society democratized those documents to the point that we have a relative democracy today. Yet just as it can be created, it can be taken back. And that's what's happening right now. Off of Wall Street and in Washington, D.C., they're stealing that democracy from us. So it's our time to be the agitator again. And if they say, oh, you're just an agitator, say back to them, you betcha, that's the center post in the washing machine that gets the dirt out. We need a whole lot more agitation, agitators in our society today. I'll leave you with this thought. First of all, we passed out some material there, including a little slip from myself and True Majority, which is Ben and Jerry's operation, asking for your emails. We've got to be the ones that take power back, and we need to connect up with each other. So I hope you'll fill that out and bring it into us so we can connect you up to action of all kinds of different progressive groups that are being taken. So please fill out those little slips with your email address and get it to us up here on the stage or somewhere in somewhere convenient here so we can be in touch with you for the long haul and unite with you to take our country back from those thieves in high places. And I'm about to slip back over here to BookSource, a great independent bookstore, by the way. I'm on a 30-something city tour of this book, promoting this book, but I always use the independent bookstores wherever we go and always go with them because they're our people. So I'm going to slip off the stage and be back there toward the Real Good Store where I will be signing the books at the BookSource yellow sign back there. In fact, they got a big old wooden throne that I get to sit in. I'm looking forward to that. But I'll leave you with this thought. There's a moving company in my town of Austin. This moving company has an advertising slogan that I stole. In fact, the moving company has it in the yellow pages, an ad there. It says, if we can get it loose, we can move it. That's what we're talking about. Get it loose at the grassroots level. The people will move it for themselves. Thanks very much. Great to be with you. Thanks to SoulFest.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Teresa from Pacific Paradise in Humboldt County. We support Radio for Peace International, the people's voice.
I'm Jim Farrell, and I'm a student and a critic of the Three Gorges Dam project that's being built by the People's Republic of China on the Yangtze River. And I support Radio for Peace International.
This is Jim Hightower. You're listening to Radio for Peace International, broadcasting from Costa Rica, bringing you the world from the people's perspective.
This is Jim Page, and you are listening to Radio for Peace International from Costa Rica.
My name is Remedy, and I sat in an ancient redwood tree for 1 year without touching the ground, and I support Radio for Peace International, the voice of the people from Costa Rica.
Ah, yes, those and many other voices supporting Radio for Peace International, your global community forum, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 7445 International Shortwave. And that was a speech by Jim Hightower given at the 2003 Soul Fest in Hopland, California. Radio for Peace International covered the 2003 Soul Fest. And Radio for Peace International would like to thank the members of Soul Fest for making these speeches and interviews available to us. Radio for Peace International needs your help. Please log on to our website at www.rfpi.org and see how you can help and how you can support Radio for Peace International and their commitment to peace throughout the world.